Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Crystal Quest Show with John Dennis Gobert and Happy Hara on HealthyLife.net, positive talk radio, where we explore crystal energy, astrology, metaphysics, ancient cultures, and spirituality. I am your co-host, Happy, and I'm here with our other co-host, John Dennis. In recent shows, John Dennis and I have been talking about the shift of Pluto into Aquarius and how that major astrological transit is dramatically changing our collective relationship to technology and spirituality. To go a little deeper into that timely theme, we have with us today Paul Levy, who has specialized in the study of quantum theory and spirituality. He has two new books. The first is his recently revised and expanded classic work called The Quantum Revelation, Awakening to the Dreamlike Nature of Reality. And he also wrote the foreword to another new book titled The Six Bardos of the Tibetan Book of the Dead. Paul Levy is a pioneer in the field of spiritual emergence, assisting others awakening to the dreamlike nature of reality. He is the founder of the Awaken in the Dream community in Portland, Oregon, and has been a Tibetan Buddhist practitioner for 40 years. He is the author of six books, including Undreaming Wetiko. Paul, welcome to the Crystal Quest Show.
Yeah, hi. I'm so happy to be here with you. Just really appreciate the invite. Thank you.
Yes. And we're very excited to have with you with us today because, like I was said in the introduction, I mean, you know, your book, The Quantum Revelation, is very, very timely right now. You know, it feels like with all of this sudden onslaught of artificial intelligence in our lives and all the ethical problems that raises, it's like I feel like your book really was touching on a theme of like, how do we continue moving forward with, like, say, you know, this quantum leap with, you know, say, artificial intelligence, but also, you know, like, we need to keep moving forward in our spirituality, and how are we navigating that? And I feel like, to some degree, this is partly what your book is about.
Oh, totally. Well, you know, keep in mind, the quantum was discovered about 100 years ago, and it was such a radical discovery. I mean, it's being called the greatest discovery ever in all of history in the realm of science, but we're at the beginning stages of unfolding what it's revealing to us. You know, it's such a radical discovery that, you know, we haven't even gotten to the real core essence of it, and it has to do with our minds. It's showing us something about who we are, and in my book, I not just suggest, I show that it's the medicine for what ails our species, because we've fallen into a collective psychosis, and we're destroying ourselves, and, you know, the evil is getting acted out all over the world. And it's not an accident that, you know, quantum physics has discovered something that actually can help us to wake up to our nature.
All right. So this is a massive theme that we're trying to, like, deal with in this show. But right on the front of your book, you know, there's this quote that, you know, Sting said, "The quantum revelation is mind-blowing." You know, it's right there on the front of your new book, you know. And and I thought, wow, that's a good quote. But, all right, how do we, you know, I almost hate to ask this question because it's like, you know, you've got to, you know, somebody had to dumb something down so far that's almost wrong. But how do you take away from the word mind-blowing and tell us, like, what is your book about?
Yeah, no, totally. So, in essence, what quantum physics discovered was that the universe that the pre-quantum physicists, the classical physicists, were studying, i.e. they were conceiving this world as objectively existing, separate from us, that quantum physics has proven that's a nonsensical idea. There is the sense of an objective reality is just that, and the idea in our heads with no correlate in reality. And what that means, what quantum physics discovered, is that the act of observing this universe actually influences the universe observed. What that means is that quantum physics is tapping in to that we're having a collective dream, so the dream-like nature of reality. And what that means is that the act of observation, we're not passively witnessing this universe. Via our perceptions, we are playing a role in invoking the very universe that we are experiencing. And what that means is that the act of observation is creative, that we have this unimaginably vast creative power that's intrinsic to our nature. But to the extent we're not aware of it, that power gets turned against us. And in a way, that is evidence all around the world that we're killing ourselves. So quantum physics has basically proven that we are having a collective dream. And just like a night dream, we can wake up to our circumstance and connect with our intrinsic power.
Okay. Yeah. No, well, that certainly helps. You know, I just got your book, and I was like, wow, I've got to, like, somehow wrestle with this before the show. You know, but then I was reading the section about time, and I feel like I'm always in battle with time, you know, and maybe it's because I'm Aquarius, and maybe deep down I don't really, really believe in it. Maybe that's what my real battle is. But, you know, you said some really interesting things about time, that time is anything but simple, and that our concept of time deranges our mind and our civilization. And those were some of the mind-blowing things that are a takeaway from your book for me. I mean, I'd love for you to explain that more.
Yeah, for sure. Well, quantum physics in their equations, they don't even have any variable for time, because there's only one time in quantum physics. It's a moment of observation, which is always in the now moment. So quantum physics, it does something really amazing with time. It couples the past and the future in the present moment. So there is the whole idea of this linear time, that's the illusion. And once we, you know, see through that, it opens up not only our mind, but it unlocks our creativity. So the idea that something happened in the past and it's always written in stone, quantum physics has shown that's an illusion, because the way we observe the past in this very moment, it's as if our doing that, our interpreting the past and thinking about the past in this moment, reaches back in time, so to speak, and it's as if it changes what's happened in the past. And this is what all shamans have tapped into, you know, the archetypal idea that shamans can go on a journey and change what happened in the past that really affects the present moment. Quantum physics has shown, you know, how that works.
You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about a couple of experiences I've had, all right? So I was at this Native American site once, and I was with a group of archaeologists, but I'm kind of sensitive to energies and stuff, and all of a sudden, there was this, I don't know, like he could have been like a medicine man or a shaman, but he seemed like he was coming from the past, and he also was like very present. But I mean, not in physical form, but I could see him like more in a spiritual dimension. And he was like, I felt like I was not making this up, because it just all of a sudden came out of the clear, out of the blue, and it kind of shocked me. And all of a sudden there he was, and he was asking me for help, because he was sending these messages to me, like in my mind, and he was like saying stuff like his village or his community was like they were all sick and ill or dying or something, and he was seeking help for that, and I thought, wow, this whoever this is, he's transcended the boundaries of time, and he's all of a sudden reaching out to someone who's like in that, in the same space. Like it was like in the same space of that village, like that archaeological village. I was kind of wondering how he had done that. I don't know why I'm all of a sudden thinking this. I've not thought of this in years until you started talking about this. And I feel like this is what you're talking about. It's like shaman can do this. They can transcend the boundaries of time.
Yeah, well, it's very much, I mean, quantum physics has shown that not only the past is, in a sense, having an influence on how the present moment manifests, but quantum physics is saying so is the future, that there are these potential futures, and it depends where we place our attention, we actually are attracted into, you know, any of those potential futures. But the point is, the future is influencing the present as much as the past is. And the present moment is where that handshake between the past and the future takes place. And this isn't some sort of new age natural, you know, thinking. This is hardcore science. This is what quantum physics, you see, quantum physics, it's such a radical discovery that the physicists are saying they haven't found the central idea, you know, that it's already changed the course of history with all the technology that has been invented, you know, from quantum physics. But the physicists are saying that's the low-hanging fruit, that the real benefit is going to be it's going to expand our consciousness. And they're all saying we haven't found the central idea. And when we find it, we're going to be like, how could we have been so blind for so long? And they're also saying this idea could be expressed on a bumper sticker or on a T-shirt. It's going to be so simple. And I'm not a physicist at all. I'm just somebody who 40-plus years ago began having experiences that were impossible, that could only happen in dreams. And then I found quantum physics, and I realized, oh, quantum physics is mapping and describing this universe that I found myself in. And, you know, so I would say the central idea of what quantum physics is offering us is showing us is that life is a dream. We are dreaming up this universe moment by moment, all of us together, into materialization. And that's what every spiritual tradition, you know, is talking about. But if we don't recognize that, then we're victimized by our own intrinsic creative power. What I'm trying to bring forth is help people to become aware that we all have this power via the way we interpret our experience and this, you know, whatever meaning we place on the waking thought. We have this enormous creative power that we're unconscious of, and quantum physics is showing that to us.
You know, in this show, we have this focus on crystal energy, and John Dennis and I wrote a book called The Chintamani Crystal Matrix, and when the Chintamani is like the wish fulfilling gem that shows up, you know, in the Tibetan tradition, the Buddhist Chinese traditions and stuff. But anyway, we wrote a book about this, but the deeper we went into it, the more it was turning. We were going into the quantum realm with it. And so, and then we started to like kind of dovetailing it or like connecting it with the Holy Grail, the Philosopher's Stone. And I noticed in your book, you even said something like encountering the quantum realm was like discovering the Holy Grail, the Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah.
And that,
absolutely.
That was really interesting. I mean, I'd love for you to talk more about that too.
Yeah. Well, you know, in these physicists in the early 1900s who were tapping into the quantum, they were tapping into the very same thing that the Buddha had tapped into when he realized the Buddha nature. And I point out in my book, it's the same thing. And it's staring us in the face. It's not like we have to, like, you know, create it or something. No, it's interfacing. It is our nature. And, you know, and the idea in alchemy with the Philosopher's Stone, it's not something you find out there and you possess. You become this living philosophical stone. You embody it. You so deeply have realization that you just become the instrument for that energy of the quantum, of our Buddha nature, of our creativity, you know, which interfaces with the divine, that you just embody that. And you see, because I point out that quantum physics in the Tibetan tradition, they have this idea of karma, of hidden treasures. And, you know, and you know, the point being, when the community of practitioners get stale or unconscious or one-sided, this spiritual treasure will be discovered. And they're like alarm clocks that are hidden holographically enfolded in the multidimensional world that we live in. And when a Dharma is discovered and taken in, these hidden treasures, then the community, if they really, you know, take in the meaning of the Dharma and do the practice of what the Dharma is showing us, they get back in balance and connect with their nature. And I'm pointing out that quantum physics is a modern-day analog to a Dharma. This is a major discovery. We as a species, we've gotten so one-sided in this materialistic, scientific point of view, thinking the world is objective, and then the other half of that is we think we're separate. And those two ideas, the world being objective and us being a separate self, in a mutual way, co-arise and reinforce each other. That's the illusion that I call that's the mind virus that's at the bottom of our collective madness. And quantum physics as the Dharma is helping us to dispel that, is helping us to see, oh, we're not separate. We're interdependent, interconnected. There's no separate self. And the energetic expression of that realization is compassion, is love.
You're getting into an area that I definitely wanted you to express, which was how are we connecting quantum with this, like, say, Buddhism and other spiritual paths. Now, kind of going back to the Holy Grail a little bit, you also said that revelations can be used for good or evil, and that was really interesting, too. And as soon as I read that, it was making me think about, like, in Buddhism, as a practitioner, you know, the more you study, there's, like, say, termas or teachings that are really forbidden to be taught or practiced until you achieve a certain level of mastery. And it made me kind of think about, you know, our knowledge of quantum mechanics is like that, too. Like, do we really understand what we're getting ourselves into and how to use this energy or this revelation?
Yeah, well, it's very much like with AI. Like, AI could unbelievably be of benefit to humanity. Or, if gotten into the wrong hands of people, you know, who have unhealed power stuff, you know, they can use it to have power over others instead of power with others. And so it's the very same thing. And that's where, you know, quantum physics, it really sort of interfaces with being a spiritual path, because it's shedding light on who we are, you know, and to connect with who we are is to see through the separate self. That's the illusion. We don't exist separate from other people or from anything. And, you know, to see through that is to realize, oh, wait, we are interconnected. And you see, in a quantum universe, and quantum physics has discovered this universe is quantum on all scales, both the micro and the macro. In a quantum universe, there's no separate things interacting. No, it's one seamlessly interconnected whole. And, you know, and that's what's being offered to us, to recognize that is our nature. That's to connect with our wholeness, but we can only see that when we're actually, you know, aware of our wholeness, of our nature. And if we're fragmented and we're not, then we're going to project out our shadow, and we're going to create fragmentation in the world. We're going to get into conflict. All of that is what's happening in the world, but the origin of all of that insanity is to be found within our mind. And that's the nature of the quantum, because the quantum is coupling the physical world, the opposite of matter, the physical world, and mind. It's literally showing us that there is ultimately not a distinction between the opposites of mind and matter.
So if one follows a Buddhist path and they have a teacher, you know, they have a guide into that realm, and they're taking, you know, protective steps. But then when we're dealing with our very technologically, we have a world that is just racing towards technology without spiritual development. And You know, we're going to run out of time in this segment, so I might leave this question until the next segment. But I guess where I'm going with this is like, what advice do you have for people who may not be on a spiritual path, but are just kind of doing an unbridled use of, like, say, technology that's going into quantum mechanics?
In essence, has to do with connecting with our nature, which has to do with our heart, with opening our heart. Because people who are too identified with the whole technology thing, their heart becomes hardened, and that's the disconnect from their nature, and that then, you know, enables them to be an instrument to enact, destruction and evil. So the idea is to really connect with our heart. That's our nature.
All right. So we're going to take a break. We can continue to expand on this and maybe get into the other book that you've been involved with. We're going to take a break, but we will be right back with our guest, Paul Levy, author of The Quantum Revelation. You are listening to The Crystal Quest Show on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio.
You've never read a crystal book like this one. Chintamani Crystal Matrix is Happy Hara and John Dennis Govert's new book, and it is filled with so much information it'll rock your crystal world. Discover how to intentionally use gemstones. Find out all about your own wish-fulfilling gem that can bring you your deepest desire directly into this world. But that's just the start. Get your copy of Chintamani Crystal Matrix at innertraditions.com or at amazon.com, or order it from fine bookstores everywhere. ChintamaniCrystalMatrix.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Okay, I know that you have heard about astrology, but what about using crystals and astrology together? Well, that exists. It's astrogemology, and you're in luck because Happy Hara does just that. Happy presents you with crystals, stones, and gems that align with your unique zones and planets in your natal astrology chart. But it's even better than that. She teaches you how to use them to empower your life. Set up your appointment today. Visit ChintamaniMatrix.com, go to the services page, and just email happy. That's at ChintamaniMatrix.com.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
John Dennis Govert, yogi, guru, and ordained Tibetan Lama, has been doing traditional astrology readings for over 40 years. He can help you manifest your own happiness and navigate the timing of the best periods for pursuing the opportunities available to you throughout the year. You can make informed choices. Get the support you need with your own astrology reading from John Dennis. Visit ChintamaniMatrix.com. Go to the services page. Email John Dennis directly to schedule your appointment. That's at ChintamaniMatrix.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
ChintamaniMatrix.com is your source for all the up-to-date things happening with crystals, crystal intention coaching, free guided videos on meditation programming and clearing crystals, and even a monthly New Moon Crystal blog to help you clarify and manifest intentions in the right way and at the right time. So visit ChintamaniMatrix.com, and while you're there, sign up for the mailing list so you can receive monthly crystal intention updates. That's ChintamaniMatrix.com.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Crystal Quest Show with Happy Hara and John Dennis Govert on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio. And our guest, Paul Levy, who is the author of a number of books, and we've talked about the quantum book that he just republished again, and updated, that came out in January of 2025. And now we're going to switch to a book that Paul has written a foreword to. And this is, the name of the book is The Six Bardos of the Tibetan Book of the Dead, Dzogchen Teachings on the Peaceful and the Wrathful Deities. And this was a book that was a series of teachings by two brothers, Venerable Kenshin Paulden Sherub Rinpoche and his brother, Kenpo Tselong Dongyal Rinpoche. And the topic, many Americans have kind of heard of the Tibetan Book of the Dead, not realizing that it's part of a couple larger terma, as we discussed in the last time, sets of revelations, comes through the Bardo Thodol, but particularly it comes into what now is just called the Tibetan Book of the Dead, because everybody knows it as that, even if it's wildly incorrect. So I want the two teachers, the two Kenshin brothers, were speaking about how they were explicating a poem about the Bardos, which are, I'll have Paul talk about first, and then I'll ask him some other questions. But they've discussed about appearances are the path, and that what you're perceiving isn't outside you. It's exactly what was just discussed about on the quantum side, but this is now from a different viewpoint. So, Paul, would you please sort of begin telling us what are the Bardos and what are we projecting into the universe here?
Yeah. Well, the Bardo, the word Bardo, which is the Tibetan word, actually means the in-between or gap, and between worlds, between states of consciousness. You know, and there are multiple Bardos, but one of the major Bardos is when we die, between death and then we take rebirth in whatever realm we do. And in that Bardo, in the teachings, you know, the Tibetan Book of the Dead is the Kerma, and, you know, so it's really the teaching of the Dharma. It's saying that we will be in this mental body, like in a dream body, it's similar to at night when we have a dream. And we'll be in a dream, we go, and we experience it as being real and solid, and it's who we are. In the Tibetan Book of the Dead, they say when you die, you will be in a body like that, like a dreaming body, like a mental body, and then you'll be inhabiting a world, and it'll seem really real and objective and solid and separate from you, but it's nothing other than your own mind. And to recognize that is to attain liberation, and it's very much like being in a night dream. And in a night dream, you know, you think it's real if you're not lucid, and it's only after you wake up that you contemplate it and you go, oh my God, that real seeming dream was actually just a projection of my mind, because that's what a dream is. And what the teachings are pointing out is that not only in the after death state when we have that realization, but in our waking dream right now in this life, it's analogous, that if we recognize that everything we're seeing in the world is not objective, just like quantum physics says, is not separate, but it's actually a reflection of our mind, then we wake up. That's to attain liberation. But it's like easy, because of all of our habitual patterns, to fall, to forget and fall back asleep. And what practice in Buddhism is really becoming familiar with that lucid awareness, with that realization, which is our nature, and just to stabilize that realization. And that's really what practice is in Tibetan Buddha Dharma.
Yes, they make a particular point in the teachings about this dream state, and then one of the main practices that a person could have for navigating the in-between states of death, but all the in-between states we find ourselves in from moment to moment, is recognition of the dream. So would you explicate that a little more?
Yeah. That's why the subtitle of my quantum book is Awakening to the Dreamlike Nature of Reality. That all of this is a dream. It's not, you know, I got into a debate with a very esteemed Tibetan translator who had come to visit me, and he was saying, no, this is like a dream, it's metaphoric. And I was saying, no, there's no metaphor, this is a dream, and this is nothing other than a dream, but we've all been in trance in thinking that it's real and solid and separate and objective, and because of the dreamlike nature, we will then dream up all the evidence confirming our point of view, but that's the self-hypnosis. That's having fallen under the spell. And books like the Tibetan Book of the Dead, or like quantum physics, are like the medicine helping us to wake up to the dreamlike nature, to that we are dreaming each and every moment. We are in a bardo each and every moment, and we can either recognize that or not. And there's a huge difference. If we recognize it, then we access our creative agency. But if we don't, then we're victimized, and then we fall asleep.
Yeah, I mean, but the teaching is actually, it's weird. It's everywhere. It's like, you know, in that nursery rhyme about, you know, rowing your boat down the stream, merrily, merrily, merrily. Life is but a dream. That is the teaching.
Exactly. No, exactly. And the word Buddha, the etymology of it literally means one who is awakened to the dream-like nature. And when I was making reference in the first segment around, yeah, like 40-plus years ago, I began having these experiences that could only happen in dreams. It was really destabilizing to me because, you know, I had thought certain things were possible and certain things were impossible, and all of a sudden these miracles were happening. And particularly I was getting to meet my teachers when I was, you know, around them. It was like the whole third-dimensional space-time matrix just completely...
So, Paul, you were explaining the space-time matrix. Could you please talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, particularly when I was around my teachers, when I was having my awakening in the early 80s, the space-time matrix just whooped, and stuff began happening that could only happen in dreams. And it was very destabilizing. But then over the years, as I integrated it, I had the realization that the dreamlike nature, I was seeing it. It was getting revealed to me, and I more and more stabilized that realization. Of course, I'm still a work in progress, like all of us. And but that's what, you know, the Tibetan Book of the Dead is pointing at. That's what quantum physics is a revelation of, is the dreamlike nature.
Well, we are going to explore this in the next section a little bit more deeply, and then also have Paul talk about where we can contact him. So I'm thanking everyone for being at the Crystal Quest Show and look forward to continuing the conversation on the other side.
Okay, I know that you have heard about astrology, but what about using crystals and astrology together? Well, that exists. It's astrogemology, and you're in luck because Happy Hara does just that. Happy presents you with crystals, stones, and gems that align with your unique zones and planets in your natal astrology chart. But it's even better than that. She teaches you how to use them to empower your life. Set up your appointment today. Visit chintamanimatrix.com, go to the services page, and just email happy. That's at chintamanimatrix.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
John Dennis Govert, yogi, guru, and ordained Tibetan Lama, has been doing traditional astrology readings for over 40 years. He can help you manifest your own happiness and navigate the timing of the best periods for pursuing the opportunities available to you throughout the year. You can make informed choices. Get the support you need with your own astrology reading from John Dennis. Visit chintamanimatrix.com, go to the services page, email John Dennis directly to schedule your appointment. That's at chintamanimatrix.com.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Chintamanimatrix.com is your source for all the up-to-date things happening with crystals, crystal intention coaching, free guided videos on meditation programming and clearing crystals, and even a monthly new moon crystal blog to help you clarify and manifest intentions in the right way and at the right time. So visit chintamanimatrix.com, and while you're there, sign up for the mailing list so you can receive monthly crystal intention updates. That's chintamanimatrix.com.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
You've never read a crystal book like this one. Chintamani Crystal Matrix is Happy Hara and John Dennis Govert's new book, and it is filled with so much information it'll rock your crystal world. Discover how to intentionally use gemstones. Find out all about your own wish-fulfilling gem that can bring you your deepest desire directly into this world. But that's just the start. Get your copy of Chintamani Crystal Matrix at innertraditions.com or at amazon.com, or order it from fine bookstores everywhere. ChintamaniCrystalMatrix.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Crystal Quest Show with Happy Hara and John Dennis Govert here on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio. And we're continuing our conversation with our guest, Paul Levy, on a number of his books. But before we go any further, Paul, could you please tell us and the listening audience where they can contact you, find out more about your books, and find out about the offerings that you have for working with people.
So, sure. So the way I say it is that if people want to awaken in the dream, go to awakeninthedream.com. That's my website. It has a ton of free articles and interviews. And, you know, people can buy my books. So I'll be happy to autograph them or set up, you know, private consultations, and that's the place that, you know, you can email me from that site. There's a contact Paul link, and that would be where people would go, to awakeninthedream.com.
And that has links to all your different books and discussion of them, right?
Yeah, that has the links to everything, really. You know, all my books, a ton of articles. It's not monetized. You know, I get criticized, but no, this is medicine. I want to get this out to people because it really is helping people all over the world. And, so everything that if they want to follow my work or learn more about me, they would just go to that, to awakeninthedream.com.
Perfect. Thank you very much. So let's continue our discussion a little bit. And then one of the things we note with the Bardos is that when someone dies, they go through a series of different experiences, I guess you could say. So would you like describe sort of like the latter experiences of like the last three of the Bardos?
Yeah, to describe are you talking the final period of the Bardo, like before incarnation again? Is that what you mean?
Right, yes, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what happens is that, you know, when we die, we can't take anything with us at all physically except the state of consciousness. That's all the teachings say that very, very consistently, and that intuitively, it just makes sense to me. And, you know, and the idea being that if we haven't fully awakened in this life, the teachings say then in the Bardo, just like a leaf gets blown by the wind, we get blown by the winds of karma, and that determines our next rebirth. But if we've awakened, then, you know, like some of these greats, like His Holiness Dalai Lama, then, like, you know, they can consciously choose to take rebirth so as to be a benefit and be of service to all the rest of us. And that also just intuitively makes sense. But the idea is that that process that the Book of Dead is describing happening in the Bardo after we die is happening each and every moment of our lives. So if to the extent that we have the recognition of our nature in this moment, then, you know, we're going to be able to be in service, we're going to be connected with our nature, and we're not under the sway of karma. But if we don't recognize our nature, you know, then we're going to be compelled to enact our, you know, unintegrated, unhealed karma and just play out our unconscious on the wheel of samsara again and again. So the Tibetan Book of the Dead, in like sort of encoded secret form, is not just for, you know, it's not just about what happens after we die, but it's actually really, it's a guidebook showing us, you know, about our lives and about what's happening each and every moment of our lives.
Yeah, one of my teachers used to say that it's like if you're every moment you have six types of colored paper, you know, and which are sort of the realms of that you could go to besides the enlightened realm, and you know, based on your choices and what you did, you put a paper down, and then the next moment, and then after a while, you look at the stack of papers and see what color they really are, and that tells you, you know, what the process of your life has really all been about. One of the interesting... Go ahead.
No, you go, yeah.
Okay, well, one of the things that the Kenshin said that I thought was very interesting is that going through the Bardos is not a matter of method. It's just a natural unfolding, you know, so it's like you don't need to know the playbook and memorize it, so to speak, but what you do need to do is be present in each choice moment.
Yeah, exactly, and that's to recognize our nature. You know, that's the greatest protection against anything negative, you know, or in the bardo, any sort of whatever, just darkness. To the extent the greatest refuge is our nature, is to recognize our nature, to become familiar with it. In Tibetan, you know, Buddhism, the word meditation, it actually means to become familiar with. And so that's why in Buddhism, the teacher, they introduce you to your nature, which is, you know, I mean, they have a lot of things. It can be called emptiness. It's like a mirror. It's spacious like the sky. But when we actually become familiar with that nature, then just like when you're in a dream and you're having a nightmare, instead of getting entranced and reactive to all like the darker forces that are, you know, appearing in that nightmare, you know, if you're in touch with your nature, you can recognize that those forms of the dream, those darker forms, they're just a projection of your own mind, and because you're connected with your nature, you're not touched, you're not affected, you're not going to create karma, you're not going to become conditioned or react to those seemingly very convincing darker forces, that whether we're talking in the bardo or in our life externally in with darker forces or internally. That's why it's so important in the teachings to get to know your nature.
Absolutely, and it's talked about in the very beginning of the book that's the most important preparation for everything is just that moment to moment awareness and recognition of where you're really at, and sort of probing that yourself so that you understand it.
And to understand it even more than understanding it with your mind, you know, because it's not an intellectual thing. But to the point where you just have realization and it's effortless when you realize your nature, you know, in the tradition of Tibetan Buddhism that I do practice, and they'll talk about when you have the realization of the nature of your mind, it cures the disease of effort. That effort is conceived of as being a disease. That effort is the obscuration. That all we have, it's like where we are clinging and grasping, we're contracting against our life, and the only thing we have to do is stop doing that and let our light shine, and that's effortless.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing, you know, it's called Buddhahood or awakening without meditation, which is exactly about achieving the state that you're discussing, about getting to the effortless state and moving
on. And the thing which is so profound, like with the Kenpo, is because I've known them for over 40 years, and they're two of the greatest of the realization beings of all of Tibet, and they embody that state of effortlessness. They're just always relaxed and completely chill and just oozing love and compassion. They're embodying the teachings of the Dharma. So they don't have to convince anybody. You know, when they give teachings, they are an embodiment of the teachings. And that really impacts people, you know, both in their conscious, but even in the core of their being, in their unconscious, you know, and that's what I mean about to become a philosophical stone, and then you embody it, and then that realization is contagious. That really impacts other people.
Yeah. Thank you very much for all of the discussion, and I encourage everyone to read this particular book on the Bardos, because I think it's one of the best ones that I've read so far and been exposed to. And you can feel the wisdom of the tempos through this. And I want to thank you, Paul, for being our guest today on the Crystal Quest Show on HealthyLife.net Positive Talk Radio.
John Dennis Govert, yogi, guru, and ordained Tibetan Lama, has been doing traditional astrology readings for over 40 years. He can help you manifest your own happiness and navigate the timing of the best periods for pursuing the opportunities available to you throughout the year. You can make informed choices. Get the support you need with your own astrology reading from John Dennis. Visit chintamanimatrix.com. Go to the services page. Email John Dennis directly to schedule your appointment. That's at chintamanimatrix.com.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Chintamanimatrix.com is your source for all the up-to-date things happening with crystals, crystal intention coaching, free guided videos on meditation programming and clearing crystals, and even a monthly New Moon Crystal blog to help you clarify and manifest intentions in the right way and at the right time. So visit chintamanimatrix.com. And while you're there, sign up for the mailing list so you can receive monthly crystal intention updates. That's chintamanimatrix.com.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
You've never read a crystal book like this one. Chintamani Crystal Matrix is Happy Hara and John Dennis Govert's new book, and it is filled with so much information it'll rock your crystal world. Discover how to intentionally use gemstones. Find out all about your own wish-fulfilling gem that can bring you your deepest desire directly into this world. But that's just the start. Get your copy of Chintamani Crystal Matrix at innertraditions.com or at amazon.com, or order it from fine bookstores everywhere. ChintamaniCrystalMatrix.com.
Uplifting talk. HealthyLife.net.
Okay, I know that you have heard about astrology, but what about using crystals and astrology together? Well, that exists. It's astrogemology, and you're in luck because Happy Hara does just that. Happy presents you with crystals, stones, and gems that align with your unique zones and planets in your natal astrology chart. But it's even better than that. She teaches you how to use them to empower your life. Set up your appointment today. Visit chintamanimatrix.com, go to the services page, and just email happy. That's at chintamanimatrix.com.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Crystal Quest Show on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio. And we're doing the segment on the Crystal of the Month, and we're going to have a discussion with Happy about this. So the first thing is that there is a particular degree of the zodiac that this one's connected to, and it's the 10th degree of Pisces. And it's an unusual stone called Scholasite, hard to say, that not many people know about, but I think it's incredibly important in what it can do. And so I'm going to ask you, Happy, to talk about what Scholasite is and how it can be used to help us.
Yes, thank you, John Dennis. Yes, Scholasite I feel like it's become increasingly rare. I tend to, I go to all the gem and mineral shows, and I feel like over a period of time I'm seeing less and less of this material. But I want to mention that the world's largest gem and mineral show is going on in Tucson right now, and honestly I haven't seen very much scholasite about in the gem and mineral show. But what it is, it's a white fibrous mineral. It's in the zeolite family, and its chemistry is calcium silicate. And in its more natural state, it is It grows from its base into these like white fiber crystals, and sometimes some of the samples, it can be very delicate fibers that it grows in a spray, and they're fabulous crystals. They're very delicate. They break easily. So I found myself not really acquiring a lot of them because they're so delicate, and like just packing them is hard too. But the way that light hits them, they have this incredible luminosity and white light. They're very fragile. And I remember when I was younger, I was always almost, the crystals to me were almost intimidating because they're brittle and they're kind of spiky. This is not something you can easily hold in your hand. And when I reflect on my interaction with the crystal in the past, I think I found it a little bit bristly. Now, I think it challenges us to cleanse our karma. Like if one is not ready to fully embrace a scholasite, it might feel a little bristly, maybe a little rough around the edges. But once one kind of tunes into their field, like most zeolites, and this is a group of minerals, or a lot of them come from India, and I find the zeolites to be incredible karma healers or karma cleansers. Like they just start cleansing karma, cleansing your baggage or your attachments so that your heart is freer, lighter, and like you can practice more ease because you're not burdened down by attachments or negativity or even like negative attachments to the past too, past karmic baggage. So I think that is one of the first things the zeolites do, and especially scholasite is uniquely suited for this, is just start clearing the karma so that you can open up your field. And then some other interesting things about scholasite is that when I look at it, it totally reminds me of fiber optics. And when you kind of think about fiber optics, it's a technology that transmits information as light pulses along fibers, okay? And this to me is kind of getting us right back into what we've been talking about in quantum mechanics, quantum realm, is that means like since it looks like fiber optics and it reminds me of fiber optics, you can actually use it in that way. So this is an interesting crystal that could actually help us to work more directly with the quantum realm, and its cleansing capacity. Like we don't want to be working with the quantum realm if we are contaminated by negative karma. So it cleanses us so that we can work with this crystal and send out light pulses along these fibers more effectively. This is what I'm picking up with this crystal right now, because I am holding one right now. Now, some other interesting things about scholasite is that it can strengthen and unlock our third eye so that we can have more intense lucid dreaming. And John Dennis, you and Paul have been talking about this, about like the dreamlike nature, waking up to the dream, lucid dreaming. I know Paul was talking a lot about lucid dreaming in both of his books. So I find that really interesting that and we keep finding this in our show every time we do this, that the crystal, that whatever we're talking about during the show, the perfect crystal arises too, that could help us work with the themes from the show. So because it helps us with lucid dreaming, it also helps us to also work with interdimensional travel. That's another thing that this crystal helps us with. And we were definitely talking about that theme during the show today too, we're not locked in by time, that time moves backwards and forwards. And we can work with other dimensions as well. So when meditating with this particular crystal, with the intention of auric cleansing and self-healing, it can open you up to working more intensely with the quantum realm, kind of like through in a fiber optic sort of way. Now, because scholarsite and other zeolites are so good at cleansing the heart chakra, this kind of dovetails a little bit what Paul was saying earlier, that in order for us to, like, say, work with artificial intelligence, the advances in technology, we need to equally be opening up our hearts so that we can work from a place of compassion and interconnectedness with everyone. So this crystal is very good at unblocking our heart chakra so that we're not working with technology and advancing towards the towards the quantum realm with our hearts closed, because that will lead us into a very, very dark place. So another component of scholarsite is that it totally helps us with compassion. It helps us to understand ourselves and others. It fosters deep connections and meaningful relationships. And it's good at working with amplifying our intuition. So it helps us to transcend the mundane, and it's totally related to the air element because it's very, very light. One thing I've always found with the zeolite family is that they, when you look at them, they look heavier than they look, and you pick them up and you're surprised. Whenever I'm working with people one-on-one, I always say, okay, pick up this particular zeolite, and they're always surprised at how light it is. And I said, that's what you need to do with your heart. You need to make your heart light. So those are some of the primary qualities of scholarsite. I encourage others collect one, work with it themselves for healing, lightheartedness, and fostering some of these other qualities that help us to work with the quantum realm. And of course, we're going to talk about this stone in our blog, our monthly blog. We'll go more in depth with pictures and explanations.
Thank you, Happy. And I want to I'll thank our viewers, or I should say mental viewers, visualizers, as well as listeners, to the Crystal Quest Show here on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio. Thank you for being with us.